You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You've reached Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and you're listening to our Healthful Living radio show, Reality Sandwich, on every Thursday at noon on KPOO 89.5 FM. If you are interested in this show or any past shows, you can listen to them for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. We have Anne Marie Holmes on the line, and she is the author of Earth Spirit Living and Bringing Heaven and Nature into Your Home. And I'm really excited to have you on today, because for those people who know about healthful living, our mission is to create models for sustainable living, and it's in all areas of our life because we can't sacrifice one area for another. So in our healthful living model, we have health of body, health of mind, health of spirit. We also have health of community, health of economy, and health of the environment and our individual environment as well as the greater collective. And so this show or this book and concept is great because it fits right in alignment with that health of the environment and living in harmony with nature and not sacrificing the environment for the economy or whatever else it might be. So I'm looking forward to learning more about how we can live in harmony with the nature and world around us and how we can benefit all of us in doing so. So thanks for being on today.
I'm honored to be with your show. I love what your Reality Sandwich is all about. It incorporates quite a bit.
Thank you. So let's start. It sounds like you have done some fascinating things in the last 20 years. And, you know, 20 years ago, the whole concept of intuitive anything was not very common or popular. So to have been doing this for so long, you must have a pretty interesting or unique background to have been drawn to this. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about you and how you got involved.
Well, as a child, I was called sensitive. I was very aware of what room I sat in and what chair I took, those kinds of things. And so I began to really look at what that might mean. And it took a while because, as you say, there was not very much out there. But I did have the opportunity to go and stay and live at a place called Findhorn. And Findhorn was based on the idea, especially, that the nature is alive and there's a whole sense of exchange with nature that really benefits nature and humans. So I thought, this is the place for me. I could do research. So I ended up becoming a member there, and I found through my year and a half, 2 years there, that I really created or had a whole life's work blueprint that came out of that time, I call it. It was like in capsule. And it's taken the rest of my life to really live it out, unwind it, unroll it. And that place, Findhorn, in northern Scotland, has a reputation for really drawing people from all over the world. So I was able to drink it in. This is in the 70s. Because at that point, there weren't that many places. And what was fascinating to me, because I actually grew up in the Bay Area, when I went to northern Scotland, this very little tiny tip of northern Scotland, half the people there were 300 people, were from California, and half of those people were from the Bay Area.
Wow.
So the Bay Area is a pretty potent place, but I felt very comfortable there, and I learned how that particular area was something called a power spot, and that earth energy is concentrated in certain spots around the planet, and on those certain spots, cathedrals are placed, water springs. We all know about them now. And what I found is it's a very fertile place. It's very strong on inspiration and support for people. So that was a major turning point. And then I heard the word feng shui about 7 years later. And it was another real wake-up, aha time for me, and I've studied with a master for 20 years. He actually is based in Berkeley, Professor Lin Yun. He's quite an amazing being as well. And actually, I had received a catalog in the mail from San Francisco State, and I had not ordered it. And I had just read the first book on feng shui, and he was a co-author. And I thought, gee, I'd like to find this man. And what happened was I opened up the catalog just because I thought, well, I'll just see what's in it. And I opened it up to the page where he was teaching a class in feng shui at San Francisco State. So that's how it began. And I began consulting soon after that. I've been studying with him. It's a lifelong process. But then I began to, you know, we've heard of feng shui, many of us, the idea that you rearrange your furniture, you use color, you use different sensory objects in your environment, whether it's work or home, and that it can impact your health. And I found that that was very true. I've worked with over 1,000 clients and have worked with developers and real estate agents, all different walks of life. And I just found so many stories that a lot of this book was to share that and then also to really pinpoint the idea how much nature is communicating with us. And that nature, you know, it's important for us to go out and hike and to really be in natural areas. But I really found in my research, as I call it, that nature really wants to communicate with us in our office buildings, in our homes. And I found after a period of time that when I walked onto a site, I would talk and spend time with nature as much as possible before I would talk to the human client. I had the nature client and the human client. And I found that the sensitivity that I had as a child really came to the fore, and I had a real place to place it. And what's very interesting, I think, with these times, because we are going through so much change, so much intensity, and people's health especially. You hear so many stories for some people's health that they cannot find a solution for what their problem is, immune system problems. And what I found a lot of the time was that a lot of the problem was coming from the environment. And so this book came about to give more information, exercises, stories, and also to take some of the Chinese out of feng shui and to really emphasize the role of nature in the process.
Wow, it sounds... It sounds heavenly, I have to say. I wish we could all live like that all the time. I guess we can if we put an emphasis on it, or we can do our best to bring as many elements as we can so we're around it as much as possible.
Well, that's what I found. I mean, I grew up in a strong urban environment. I grew up in the Bay Area. We lived right in the middle of things. But I just found that I had... a yearning inside that I wasn't quite sure what it was. And I realized that it was taking time, allowing myself to practice and to draw attention to the sensitive side that we could call this place of intuition. I call it the natural part of ourselves. We've just, in this Western world, our mind has been emphasized, and we have not been able to have the time. We don't have sensitivity 101 at school.
No, we don't.
So it's giving permission for that. And what's interesting, many of the indigenous elders right now, the Mayans especially, and some of the Native Americans, are really encouraging us to develop this sensitivity, as they call it. I call it paying attention to the atmosphere, paying attention to the air and the nature signals that nature gives us all the time.
I would love to talk about this a little more, because my husband and I went to the quite a few of the Mayan ruins in Mexico this last year, and I have to say that I don't know what happened, but from the moment I arrived there, I felt like, in fact, before I even went, which I guess is the reason I did go, I felt like I'd been there before, and, you know, it's just these technically, you know, little hills with rocks and pyramids and things on them, you could think they're interesting, or I suppose you could just kind of look at them and keep going. But I would love to know, my understanding is that a lot of these indigenous cultures, the Native Americans and the Mayans and all sorts of Native people, always lived in harmony with nature, and I would love to know your thoughts on that, and particularly for the Mayans, since I feel some specific connection to them. What can you tell us?
Yes, indeed. It's only been in the last 200 years that humans have lost connection with nature in that way, and it really happened when the Industrial Revolution started and the whole emphasis on the mind, and the agricultural economy was not necessary like it was. There was a real dependence on nature. So it was built in for a period of time. But also, the indigenous folks were really aware of how nature is a partner. You know, when we are building a house, because I'm really working with how our environment is really being impacted. We mostly live in urban environments these days. That when we build a house or when we walk on a site, we definitely talk to the builder, the real estate agent, but we need to also talk to nature. The indigenous people always took that into account. You know, we live on her, we walk on her every day, and we've just disconnected from that. Mm-hmm. So especially the Mayans have been able to keep this information, this level of quality of interaction alive because they have kept their own old ways. They have a whole astrological system that we've heard about. And they've kept that alive and in good repair. Hmm. So that's also why I was drawn to feng shui, because that too is a system that has been kept alive through centuries. So that lineage, that way of life, has been kept alive within their community and being able to be passed on to us now. And why I find when you go to these special spots, the Mayan ruins, which are very powerful. Part of it is the history there. You can palpably feel that in your body. I call it body radar. Hmm. It's that place in you where you feel like, wow, there's more than just rocks and mounds here. Mm-hmm. There's something else. I can't quite pin it down. Mm-hmm. But you have a sense that there is a lot more in the ether, that's a word that the Mayans are using now, that's part of what they're suggesting, that we pay attention to that ether, that atmosphere, that feel, and begin to learn how to discern it. And partly why, too, those places like the Mayan ruins are so powerful, in addition to history, it's because it is one of those power spots that I was talking about. We have a whole web, one of the ways of describing it, that covers the whole planet. And the ancient ones, the indigenous people, were able to detect those spots through their own abilities with this ether or this sense of feeling, or through dreams. There would be portents from nature that would give them signals. And they knew that that was a place where they could be inspired. Mm. It also was a very good place for ritual and ceremony. So they were just, that's where they would tune into that level first before they would consider any activity. Because they knew if they had that base, then everything else would work.
Hmm. Tell us more about this. I think you call it an energy web in your book. Maybe you can define a little bit. You know, in Western science, and you talk about this in your book, matter is 90% space, and we do recognize that. But some of these other traditions, like the feng shui and, string theory, quantum physics, all these things recognize the space and the energy that's in them. So can you describe that just a little more for people, and then maybe we can, apply that to how it would work in our everyday life?
Yes, quantum physics is really helping us these days, I believe, to bring more language to this whole quality, because quantum physics is suggesting that everything in matter, whether it's inanimate, so-called inanimate, or if it's a living plant, there is a sense of moving particles in everything. When we bump into a chair, it's hard to imagine that chair has space in it. But if you use some of the instruments that the quantum physics different scientists use, you can actually have a visual of those particles. And as you see them, you can see the space between them. So it is suggesting that our ability to work with energy, we can impact energy, and energy can impact us. You all know the feeling when, perhaps when you have come into a room that has just been cleaned. So many people will say, wow, it just feels good. And it's partly because we've been moving all of the particles. This is on a very subtle level. But it helps to rearrange, move your furniture, because it helps clean and clear the area. And this is what quantum physics is suggesting. And we have just all heard about The Secret, which is talking about the role of intention. And quantum physicists will say that you can actually, with your attention, intention on an object or on a desire in your life, but especially we're talking about objects today, you can actually blink that thought or that concept into reality, and that becomes a particle and eventually can help bring about the result that you have requested. That's why in feng shui or in the work that I do, it's not what you do with your environment, it's how you change it and your own intention as you work with it. Mm. And that you are actually moving these particles.
Wow. So you mentioned, and you talk a lot about the importance of nature and bringing nature in, and you talk about nature beings and water, trees, fire, and stones. Can we talk about a few things in that world? Because I'd love to talk about, at some point, ways that, you know, the average individual person can apply some of these things. But before we get there, I would just love to start with maybe some of these things that we have encountered day after day, year after year, but really maybe have disconnected from the power or what their transformative energy is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Can you maybe talk about these different nature beings and what they can do for us?
Well, one of the best ways would probably give a couple examples. And probably one of the most common ways I've seen people respond is when I talk about trees. I was just speaking with a woman the other day about this, and I mentioned that a lot of times when I have mentioned to clients or to when I'm speaking or in a class, about have you ever been around when a tree has just been cut, and how do you feel? And this one woman thought, oh, wow, I remember I just walked in a area that had a small grove of trees, and they had just been cut, and all of a sudden I found myself crying. Mm. I didn't know why. And there is a whole sense of, especially if you pay attention, you know, if you begin to look at what you're feeling, that there's a sense of change that you've felt in the atmosphere with that tree being cut. Another woman talked about coming back to her condo, and she knew something was different. She'd been away for 2 weeks, but she couldn't figure out what it was. It felt different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she then looked out her window, and this wonderful oak tree had been cut while she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the light, but she said there was also like a friend had gone. There was a depth and a weight there that she was really noticing was missing. And another story was, I thought this was very interesting, this nursery, because I was asking for stories from people, you know. This nursery school teacher was mentioning that her class came back on a Monday morning, and as she was walking into the classroom, she noticed that a fruit tree outside that it was, I think it was an apple tree, a really old one, had been cut down. And as she started her day, the class was very restless. No one could kind of sit down. You know, there was coloring wasn't making it. And she realized after a period of time that perhaps the tree had something to do with it. So she brought the class outside, and she said, how do you feel? about this tree not being here. Well, that just opened up a whole circle of information from these kids. And they said, this tree was my friend, and I didn't get to say goodbye.
Aww.
And there was a real sense of relief that they were able to address that. So as soon as she was able, everybody said something around the circle. And as soon as they were able to address that, she was able to begin her day and to say goodbye to the tree, to really acknowledge. I think a lot of us have perhaps had trees as allies, as children.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did. I would go and climb in our almond tree whenever I needed a break from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something especially about trees. Energetically, they are one of the ways they're described as they're anchors here for heavenly and earthly energy, and they really help hold life force for us.
Mm.
And that when we do, I mean, we do need to cut trees. It's not like we, can't do that, but it's how we cut them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I suggest when we cut a tree is, first of all, to give the tree a few days to adjust to it, like 2 or 3 days, talk to the tree,
mm-hmm.
tell the tree, and then as you're cutting it, invite the tree spirit or the life force in the tree to remain on the land where you are or into an adjoining forest.
Mm.
Part of the grief that we feel is just the whole sense of that connection with the earth right there. It is suddenly gone. And there isn't a sense of transfer or exchange. And what we are able to do now is to open up that exchange once again and just to acknowledge that as possible and how wonderful it can be.
How does that apply maybe to our indoor environment in terms of, having plants or having trees, or how could we use trees inside our space to support our environment?
Yes. Ficus trees are great inside. Living in Hawaii is amazing because they get really huge here.
Mm.
Having a tree inside or on a deck, that kind of thing. Ficuses are not so great on decks, but there are all kinds. To really announce yourself to the tree, acknowledge that there is a life force there, and ask the tree to act as a grounding or as a way to anchor and bring the earth from the outside in. And allowing that to happen in your home or your office as well will give you a sense of this ease. There's a sense of that it's normal. It gives you also a clarity. It can help with moods. There's something called the nature deficit disorder. Have you heard of this one?
No.
It's very interesting, and it was started by an educator. This is a phrase that he put together, and he's been studying children and their ability to really focus and study in school.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's finding is that not as many children in many of the urban areas are getting exposed to nature, and that he feels is really impacting their ability to focus. So, loading in some plants in your house is a way to allow that life force to happen and this whole sense of exchange. There's a lot of oxygen with plants. We just can breathe better, that kind of thing. And I remember one question he asked. He was asking a series of questions. This is the fellow who was, there's a book out called The Nature Deficit Disorder. And he was asking a series of questions to children about their concept of nature. And one of his major questions do you like the inside or the outside better? And this young boy said, oh, inside for sure, because I know where all the plugs are. So there isn't a sense of the importance of being in nature like it used to be. And so one of the ways to bring that together is to bring lots of plants inside, because it does really help, especially your body, your health, can really be improved. Some people are chemically sensitive and can be impacted by soil sometimes now. So even green silk plants that look like trees can be used.
What about so let's step back a second and sort of recognize that the world that we live in today is very different than when we were living in harmony with all these elements. And I'm assuming that in some ways it has created, I'm guessing, some of the common either ailments we have or sense of overwhelm or whatever those things that we all kind of share have. And I'm sure it comes from multiple directions, but one of them being this communication with nature. How do you see or do you have a sense of how these deficits today manifest in the world? Are we seeing, like you said, in these children, are we seeing, you know, ADHD? Are we seeing overwhelm or depression? Or can you associate that with anything? And then do you have any sort of places that people can start in their home where they can bring in an element that might help shift that?
Oh, yes. Yes, this is, was exciting for me, is to see that we can do some simple things in our environment that really can impact our mood, you know, that ability with being able to cope in these times. Part of it is just sitting down and sitting on your deck or sitting with the house plant and just breathing. Now, I know that sounds pretty simple, but we are also busy, and one of the things that I have found, and especially in working with clients, when they take the time and just say no to all the busyness and just sit down and actually go in a park and sit by a tree, there is a sense of exchange with nature. Because as we know, as soon as you get around nature, nature is life. And it reminds you, especially if you're feeling depressed or if there is a mood problem. And with the intensity and the overwhelm that we're all living with, it's just an amazing time that I'm finding one of the cures would be to spend time in nature. So that would be one recommendation. The other is to really make sure you get exercise. I know this isn't directly related to moving objects, but exercise really allows your own energy, your own life force to get moving again. And then to be outside with that, you know, to take a hike or to be out in nature can really, really help. But yes, let me see. I'll give you some examples. There was one woman who actually, this is another whole area that I think would be good to point out for people, she had cancer. And I came to her bedroom. This is always the first place I would recommend people starting, is to look at their bedroom. Because this is where we rest. This is a place where we really have some space and time to let down. So when I walked into her bedroom, I was very aware. I can sense things through my body, which we all can do. But I could, because I've focused on it for 20 years, so I've really been able to learn how to discern things. But I've focused on it. But when I walked into her room, I could feel water underneath the house. And I asked her about it, and she said, yes, there is a leak that we haven't been able to fix. So I said, well, it would be good to fix the leak. The water underneath the house is impacting your ability to feel stable and grounded here. Mm. And so, first of all, I'd recommend you sleep in another room. She did that, and they were able to fix the leak. It took some months, actually, because it was very complicated. But when she was able to sleep in another room and she had more awareness of paying attention to water flow around her, she did indeed have a whole healing with her body. So there was definitely an impact from her with her health with the water flow around her. So those are things to pay attention to in your house as well. If there are any leaks, another woman I worked with, I'd been working with her for quite a while, and she called me back and said, you know, it's still not working. Things were better for a while, but her husband was quite depressed. He wasn't able to get a job, and her children were not getting along. So I said, well, let me come over. And as I walked over, I said, "There, I feel, again, there's something here with water, and there is a leak." And she said, well, actually, the city came and said there was a water pipe burst, but they said they fixed it. And I said, well, I don't think it's fixed. She said, well, I don't know if I can call them back and tell them, you know, I don't have a real reason. I said, well, just try. So she did. They came back and looked one more time, and indeed, another place in the pipe had burst open.
Mm.
And so when that was fixed, and they really fixed it well this time, then things improved.
Mm.
So those are the kinds of things that can really pay attention to.
Now, what about the average person that doesn't have the luxury of having you, who have had all of this experience, come out and assess things for them? I guess I'm trying to figure out a good place to start.
Okay.
So what, you know, I mean, I've seen books on feng shui before where, you know, you kind of, it gets pretty complicated. And if you don't really know what you're doing, who knows if you're doing the right thing or not the right thing. And if your intuitive sense is not so sharp and you aren't completely sure, where would be good places to, I mean, what are some of these good things you had mentioned earlier? And I know this is true for nutrition. Sometimes there's just a few good, simple things that everybody can do. Like, for example, having some living plants in your house, for example, or maybe having a stone of some sort, or having a fountain, or what are some things that, you know, the average person could do, or the way the average person could try to tap in and figure some of these things out?
Yes. Plants, I think, are a very good place to start. You can't really go wrong. And the other part to this would be to consider the idea of communicating with the plant and the objects and suggest to the plant that it act as an ally for you in the space. So that would be one. Another is to go into a room, because we all, you know, when I ask this question, well, everybody can say there are some rooms that feel good and some rooms sometimes that don't feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that people walk around their house, their apartment, their office, and just put what I call their body radar out, or just take a time to just see how things feel to you. So in a room that feels good, really spend time there. Usually people do spend more time in a room like that. But also place some favorite objects in there and anything that is sensory. For instance, anything that really sounds good to you, that smells, aroma, anything that really stimulates the senses also is a way that relaxes you. So color. If there is a room in your house that doesn't feel right, maybe just paint it. And put a color in that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be totally surprised about how it changes.
Hmm.
It can be very simple, but when we have a space or an area that doesn't feel good, it does. It's kind of a drag or a little bit of a drain on us.
Mm-hmm.
So by paying attention to those and sprucing them up, either with color or perhaps a fountain, something that energizes it, then it also will make you feel better. And it can be very simple. I mean, that's basically what feng shui is suggesting.
Hmm.
If something doesn't feel good, just like the doctor will say, if you don't feel good, you know, look at what, maybe it's rest. You know, it can be very simple. And I see the house as a body. So, and there has been some studies out now about how the house as a body can impact the human's body.
Hmm.
So when you treat the house body, you're also treating the human body. And it can be as simple as placing something that is musical that you love. Maybe it's just playing beautiful music in a room that doesn't, you know, that isn't quite up to what you would like it to be. Or it is painting it. It is putting a beautiful statue in there or some art. And beauty is important. Professor Lin, who is a Buddhist, he would say, beauty is a cure for just about anything.
Mm.
And I love that. You know, it's very simple. But there's something around the idea that when you have a sense of balance and harmony and beauty and order around you, that you can settle down, that you can move on. Mm-hmm. So just bring in something that is beautiful to you.
Okay, that's a great piece of advice. And for people that are just tuning in, by the way, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco. I'm Julie Matthews, and we are here with Anne Marie Holmes talking about Earth Spirit Living. And going further on that theme, I'm assuming that the opposite would be true. Anything that's, say, clutter or something would be creating, I'm assuming, either some chaos or some negative energy in some way. What are some of those things that are some of the most important to do our best to clean up?
Clutter is a major one, yes. And it grows much more quickly these days than it ever has in the past. Yeah, because we get mailed this to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But clutter is a reflection. You know, you can, what I do when I go into a house, I call it a house reading. I call myself this design earth intuitive. But you can do a lot of discerning what's going on in someone's life by how their house is arranged. And if there is a lot of clutter, there could be many reasons for this. A lot of it is a symbol of overwhelm.
Mm.
Just not having enough time. But another very interesting one is that it could actually be some kind of earth energy that is difficult for a human to live on. I actually had one client where her house was immaculate. You know, it was just beautiful. I mean, talk about beautiful. She was an artist, and she had art in every room except one. And I opened the door, it was totally filled with clutter. And as I just felt the room, I actually felt a ghost in there. So that's also something that can happen. And she said, I cannot go in that room, and so the only way I can cope with it is to fill it up with a lot of clutter, just to kind of keep it at bay. So we use clutter for various reasons. But I would pay attention to creating a solution for not having the clutter if you can. And one of the easiest ways is to make a clutter appointment for yourself. You know, we have appointments to go to the doctor. We have appointments to take care of our car. We need clutter appointments. And they should be short but pithy. So even like if it's 15 minutes, ideally a day, to kind of go through where you live and bring as much order as you can before you go off for your day. That can set a whole tone for you. And when you come home to a whole wonderful sea of receptivity and balance. So it allows you to relax better.
My husband would love that idea.
Is that right?
He's Mr. Virgo organized, and I'm not so much, let's just say. But that does bring up a good point. I have a question. So in our home, we have we live in a building with about eight other people, eight other units, and it's wonderful, wonderful. We've always had amazing neighbors, and it's a very community oriented space, although it's not necessarily a community building. But my little cat is not happy. He has not been happy since we moved in, which is 4 years ago. And he has a tendency to, let's say, pee on things. And I notice that he tends to do so more if I leave clutter on the floor. He tends to pee on whatever I leave on the floor. So I'm learning. I'm practicing here. But I've had some, intuitive woo-woo, what I would call woo-woo friends. And nobody can seem to figure out what the issue with my poor cat is. I've talked to animal intuitives. I have had people come in my house. And nobody, and I've taken him to the vet, and there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with him. So any ideas for people like me how I can start to unravel this challenge I'm having?
Yes. Well, partly, do you spend enough time with him?
I mean, I think so. We both work from home, and so we must go by and give him little loving kindness every couple hours. But we don't necessarily play with him. We just sort of snuggle with him and chat with him. So I don't know if I can answer that.
I think he would like a little more play.
Okay.
Did you guys live in a larger place at one point?
Well, we did. We lived in a home, and I think there were some friendly spirits that were his friends, and I think he's a little upset that we left them.
I think that is part of it. He liked the wide open spaces, and he definitely considers himself, I think, part of the family.
He's
like number three here. It's like, wait a minute. You guys are taking care of you, but you're not taking care of me.
Right.
In his mind, okay?
Right.
So, yeah, he needs more play.
Okay.
And I think that's a lot of it. And he was used to having more earth. So I'd encourage more plants, you know? Give him some earth.
Got it. Yeah, he's very cute, but I have to say, so when we let him outside, he tends to get himself into trouble, and so we haven't been letting him outside too much, but maybe we'll have to.
Ah, see, that's a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, we tried to make a deal with him and said, if you stay in the yard, you can go outside, but then he kept breaking our rule, so he lost his privileges, but I guess maybe we should try to get him back outside.
Well, yeah, especially a cat. Once they've been outside, it's really hard to rein them back in.
Right.
Because, especially him, he was really quite used to that. And you might try bringing in some plants, but especially with you, he really needs to talk to you some more.
Ah, okay. That's very nice. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, I find that animals are great evaluators for a space, too. You can really tell.
And
I think he also was saying that you guys should also make sure you spend time outside, too.
Well, maybe we'll have to, the whole family will have to go outside and hang out in the backyard or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I find that animals are great message givers. You can really, especially around environment. I will talk to the animals and ask them what their opinion is as well.
Oh, right. And someone had once told me that there were some, I don't want to say negative energy, but you know, where there's like these energy grids, these positive energy lines. And someone had said that I may have some sort of these, whatever they are, negative energy lines coming through my space. Do you know anything about that? Do you know if we need to be concerned or if we just focus on the positive part? How would we deal with something like that?
You are right in the city, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There are a lot of power. San Francisco is a power spot, definitely. Mm-hmm. But in talking with you, I think that plants and just grounding would be really helpful there. And I think that would be true for a lot of San Francisco, is just bringing in the plants and taking care of grounding, because there are a lot of what we call ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, that happens in many, many cities. It's not just for San Francisco or a few cities. We have cut these ley lines by building. You know, the old indigenous ones would pay attention to all of that. Of course, there are a lot more people, so it's more of a challenge. But you can work with it, especially by anchoring plants in corners, that kind of thing, and use intention.
Okay, that's good. So I tend to love plants, and I must have my favorite room that everybody loves the energy in. I must have 12 or more orchids in there, and I just love plants. So I do have quite a few plants. However, I certainly could use more grounding in my life, certainly. So do I? And
we all do these days, Julie. Grounding is major every person. Yes.
Is there anything that I can do otherwise? Like you said, use intention. Is there anything else? Bringing in certain rocks or stones or just intention, or what else can help people ground their space?
Stones could do that as well, and plants would be the two major things.
Mm.
Grounding and really feeling your life moving in some kind of gentle pattern is a real challenge these days for anybody. So I would suggest plants and stones, using those a lot. And orchids, by the way, are pretty powerful, you know? They last a long time, so the bloom does, and I'm getting to know them over here. But they are quite powerful. Even though they're small, they have a strong grounding, and their color as well is very vibrant.
Mm.
And orchids are more popular these days, so that is something that I would recommend for people. I mean, that they're small, so you don't have to have a big space.
Mm-hmm.
But use the intention and ask them to be allies and to help you really anchor in your space.
That's a great, great idea. I work a lot with kids, and specifically kids with autism or kids with ADHD, and you can imagine how it's really chaotic for these families, for just what the child is going through as well as what the family is going through. What do you suggest? What can help families like that? What types of things would be supportive for them?
Wearing the color green, especially like a deep color green, you know, not a light color, having the child wear those colors, color therapy like that, it is a sense of grounding. And I really, you know, I go back, it's interesting, I haven't talked about the nature deficit disorder for quite a while, but now I see why I am. because partly the studies that this gentleman did was with kids with ADD. And he really found that taking them out in nature is important. Keeping a lot of electrical equipment away from the kids, especially in their bedrooms, of course. I would say that for everybody, child or adult. Because that stimulates the brain, but partly they're needing to connect with their bodies in a way. And especially autistic kids can teach us a lot about this body radar, because they are more attuned to how things feel.
Yes.
Because their minds are not in the same place that we are. And they have a lot to teach us about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet bringing that balance together, I think that there's more of those kinds of things going on the planet, because we've gone way overboard with mind and technology. And I think these kids are here to help remind us we have a body, we have to pay attention, we have to slow down. But those are things that I, and also a calming color in their bedroom, and especially in their playrooms.
And what would be calming colors?
Oh, like a greens again, blues. Greens and blues would be very good. And having some wood as well. You know, just really earthy, grounding things. And if they could be around a tree, that would be very nice, too.
Okay. What about, in our last couple minutes here, what about water? You know, I have this little fountain, but I rarely ever use it. And I'm wondering what type of space would be good if you wanted to add some water?
The kind of space, well, it would be good to have water, especially if we're going back to the kids. It's a very good thing to have where they're studying or where anyone is, like around an office. It's good and stimulating for the brain.
Would that mean that you wouldn't necessarily want it in your bedroom or?
Not necessarily,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be better in a study.
Got it.
And also around an entry, that can be good. That's for another reason. But it invites the good chi. You know, water is flow. And so you're inviting the good energy into the house.
So is that one of those places where you said if you have a room you really love, would you want to put the water there to flow the energy into another room? Or are you better to put it in a not-so-great room to flow the energy to the room?
Well, I think, you know, we need a favorite room where we can really enjoy. I mean, the favorite room could be that place where you have all kinds of, you know, this could be your resting room, you know, where you really can let down and enjoy and connect once again. So the water can be in there because it's something you really love. My basic is choose things that you really love and bring them into that room.
Okay. Well, anything else in our last couple minutes? We have been speaking with Anne Marie Holmes, her book, Earth Spirit Living, Bringing Heaven and Nature into Your Home. Firstly, how can people get a copy of it?
Yes, thank you. It's on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And they can go to my website. I'm going to be getting that together. I haven't been able to do that yet, but go to my website because you can really learn a lot and you can choose at that point too, because there's a lot there with my book and other things. It's annmarieholmes.com. So it's annmarieholmes.com.
Great.
And there's some tips there and, you know, some ideas for people. I think they'll be inspired.
Great. Any last thoughts for us before we end for the day?
Yes, I just want to remind people that this is something that is very simple to do. And to my main joy in writing this book is just to help bring awareness once again to this side and to give more space and room in your life for this and just to open up. There's a level of joy that comes through when you connect with nature that can spur you on for the rest of the day. Mm. Taking even a 10-minute walk can revitalize you, and I just encourage people to do that.
Mm, great. Anne-Marie, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you very much, Julie.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, I promised you a good show, and it was. I hope you enjoyed it as well. You can find Anne-Marie Holmes' book, Earth Spirit Living, as she mentioned, on her website and on Amazon. You are listening to KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. I am Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living, and you can listen to our radio show, Reality Sandwich, every Thursday at noon. And if you want to listen to this show or any past shows, they are available on our website for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. And if you want any more information on me and my services, you can go to healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening, and look forward to spending time with you next Thursday at noon.
Come along, I make we have some nice time tonight. Come along.